Like I said, my message is new beginnings, and I'm not going to get on anything specific except for I'm going to kind of go through what is a new beginning, because I think that some people have different concepts of what that is. And I know I did. Before I started doing this sermon, I was looking things up, and my view of new beginnings became different. When I first thought of new beginnings, I thought of, just when you get born again, you know, that's new. That's a new beginning. And that's true. But then I started thinking, what is a new beginning and what does it mean? Well, new means fresh and rejuvenated, reinvigorated, or something that wasn't there before. And beginnings means that you commence, start, or like they say, sometimes dawning of a new age. So that's what we're entering into. We're entering into a new age. And God did his part already. He gave us a new heart, a heart for him, a heart of flesh instead of the heart of stone that we had when we were out in the world. But I also realized that we have skin in the game. New beginning is a new beginning of the rest of our life. And every day is a new beginning. And so every day we have a part to play in what we're doing. God's given us the start. He's given us the encouragement. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So God has a new beginning for a reason. And when we go into the new beginning, God doesn't want us to bring the old man with us. The heart's new, but the flesh isn't. And so many times, we are broken people, and we have issues and things that are causing tremendous pain in our lives. And I know over the course of my life, trying to get it to lighten up a little bit here, over the course of my life, I've had to cover so many different things, issues that I've had. And it's ongoing and never stops. But I also know that every time I do that, I get a new beginning. I remember growing up, I was abused as a child, and I had this love-hate relationship with my dad. And for years, it plagued me. Even though I had that love-hate relationship, I started raising my kids like my dad raised me. And it wasn't good. And I did other things, too, that reminded me of my dad, like my dad. I wasn't real good to Sheila, and I became a drug addict and alcoholic because I couldn't deal with all the issues I had. And then all this time when I thought that I was such a loser and that there was no way out for me, all of a sudden God entered my life, and it changed everything. Not in one day, but it gave me the hope that I needed to move on and become a different person, the person that God's created me to be. In AA, we have a saying. It says, we seek spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. And I think that is where my and a lot of people's problems, especially alcoholic and drug addicts, is that we want to be perfect or not. We choose one or the other. There's no in-between ground for us. And that's why that saying means so much to me, is because as long as we're making progress every day, we're moving forward. And every day is a new beginning. You have to leave the old things behind when you wake up every morning. God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That should be our prayer every morning. Because there's so many things that are out of our control, but yet we center our lives around those things instead of the things that are in our control. And the biggest thing that I found out in this is that God wants me to be looking in the mirror 24/7. Always me. You know, I can see other people, you know, help other people and do that, but when it comes down to it, what really matters is me, because it's a relationship between me and my God, and he has a plan for my life and a path for my life. And I don't need to go sticking my nose in other people's business or judging them or looking down on them, because we're all equal in God's eyes. You know, God wants to heal us of the issues so that we can move forward in our lives. And God has promised to do something new. We need to get rid of the old so that we can bring, so that we're bringing less baggage into the new beginning that God's given us. And I looked in Luke 5, 36 through 39, and it says, he also told a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old garment, or else he will tear the new, and also the piece from the new will not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. And I think that kind of sums up our lives when we start over with God, is that we have a new heart, but we don't have a new brain. And you can't put this old stuff into a new wineskin. It's not going to work, you know. You're going to have that battle continuously between your heart and your mind on what to do. That's why when we wake up every morning, like for me, I quit drinking and I started going to AA. I quit drugs, but that didn't change me overnight. I still thought like that. It's only in continually going to meetings and getting a sponsor and doing those things that my mind slowly started to change into different thinking. You know, I don't need those things in my life anymore. Therefore, I'm going to do what I have to do to not have those things in my life anymore. And that's the most important thing. For me, if I don't have my sobriety, I have nothing. I have nothing. I lose it all. So that's the most important thing for me. I don't know what your most important thing is, but I do know that, that our changing our minds, renewing our minds through the word is the most important thing for each and every one of us. And I know when I go to AA, there's a lot of spiritual stuff in there about God. The founders definitely believed in Jesus Christ and God, and they based the program on it. And so I can just, Sheila, my marriage has changed. Is there still some old behavior? Yeah, but every day is a new beginning for us. And I know now that I'm much more patient than I used to be. And it didn't happen overnight. Every day is a new beginning. I made a mistake yesterday. I can't carry that with me into today. I have to start new with Sheila every morning, and we have to just work at it every day, a day at a time, a day at a time, just like they say in AA. And that's the key. How do we prepare? Because like I said, we have skin in this game. So how do we prepare for this new beginning? First of all, we love God. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you serve him. And how do you love him? Well, Jesus says it in John 14. If you love me, you'll obey my word. And we can't obey the word if we don't renew our mind in the word. You know, I found out in myself, I'm real great at quoting scripture. And people get like, you know, they'll say, wow, you really know the Bible. No, I don't. I know about 10%. I've memorized some scriptures. But in order to live that life and renew my mind, I can't just memorize them. I have to get them in my heart. And I have to get them in my heart and start living them and have to make them part. And there are some of those things that are in my heart. One example for me is tithing. I never used to tithe. It was a fight for me all the time. It's like I'd look at my bills and it's like, I can't do this. And somewhere along the line, God changed my heart. And that's the only place your change is going to start, is if it's a heart change. You know, when we get born as new Christians, you ever notice how we're just, on fire for God and all that stuff? But from that point on, life starts hitting us. And pretty soon, that enthusiasm kind of wanes away and you start getting more in reality. And that's not a bad thing. Because, you know, like you seek older people for advice because they're wiser. We get wiser, you know. But sometimes we don't always use that wisdom well, you know. We can use that wisdom to renew our mind and wisen the fact that, well, you know what, I'm not there anymore. That's not where I am. This is where I am now. This is a new day. I'm not a baby anymore. I'm growing up. I need to renew my mind. I need to change my thinking, you know. The world can't overwhelm you unless you let it. The world can't take your faith unless you let it. That's the new beginning. Now you become a fighter. Before we used to give in to the world, now we fight it. And that's what we can do through the Word of God and a new heart. We fight. What's Paul say? We fight the good fight. We keep the faith. We go for the prize. And this isn't the prize. We won't see the prize till we leave this earth. And that's the prize. And if we can keep our eyes on that, that's the ultimate goal. You know, it's like when you're going on a vacation, you know, the destination is the goal. But along the way, you have the journey. And some of it's good, some of it's bad. We went on a vacation to the Black Hills. Coming back, we got 2 flat tires on a trailer within 100 miles. I mean, and I only had 1 spare. So they were stuck on the side of the road waiting for a tow truck to come. And it cost like $500 by the time we all got said and done. But you know what? Through it all, we didn't fight. We didn't argue. We didn't, you know, that's progress. That's progress. You enjoy the journey, and there's going to be bumps in the road on the way there. You know, we're going to heaven. This is like a vacation thing. You know, you're going on a trip, and we're going to hit bumps in the road. Family, friends, relationships, jobs, all that. It throws us curveballs, and sometimes it's devastating. But we don't have to live in it, you know. We can face it and walk through it, because it says when God is faithful even when we're not. And that's the way I kind of look at it. Man, I've made some big mistakes in my life. Some real big ones. Hurt a lot of people. But, you know, I have to fight through that every day. Because sometimes it comes back to me. And I have a tendency to blame myself for everything. But God's always there, always for me. And I keep fighting back, thinking, that's not who I am anymore. That's not who I am in Christ. I'm not that man anymore. And it doesn't make any difference what other people think. This is between God and you. And if you know God looks at you differently, and he tells you you're not that man anymore, you're not that man anymore. And you got to believe it. And the only way you can believe it is to renew your mind in the Word of God. Spend time with him. Ask him for nothing. And I know we always, you know, pray. We're always asking for something. But you know what? If my kids came over to my house all the time asking for something, after a while, I think I'd close the curtains and hide in the closet or something. It's like, I don't want to see them. You know, they're going to want something. Sometimes God just wants us to spend time with him. You know, and you know what? It's going to be great for you, because it's nice when you don't need anything from somebody, but you can just come and get love from them and love them back, because that's what we're created for, to love God, and he loves us. So just spend time with him each day. Enjoy each other, because he enjoys you, and we should be enjoying him. And feed on his word, because it says our ultimate goal is to be, we're created in the image of Jesus Christ. And to get there, we have to renew our mind. Our heart's renewed, our mind is not. And then we need to pray, and we need to meditate on God's word. Fill your heart with his word and renew your mind. And that's very important. Share your burdens with other people. You know, it says share your burdens and issues with someone you trust, and do not isolate yourself. And I can speak to this personally. In my new beginning, I was great about talking to people. Even in AA, I had a sponsor, and I talked to him a lot. And the one thing that I remember about him when I started was most of my problems, I thought, were Sheila, and came resounded from Sheila. And I go over to talk to him, and he goes, "What's going on, Craig?" And I'd say, "Oh, well, Sheila." He goes, No. I don't want to hear this. What's the problem?" I said, "Sheila, if she would, you know," and he say, "No, we're not talking about Sheila. She's not here. You're here. What's the problem?" And then I started thinking about it, and finally he had to spell it out. He goes, "How are you reacting?" And that was everything for me. It's like for Sheila and I, we were getting ready this morning, and I've learned so much patience, you know. I mean, I'm not perfect, But, you know, I've spent so many years being angry. Even when I got born again, I spent so many years being angry that the last few years when that anger subsided in me, it's been so great. It's just like you just sit there and you look at it and you feel it coming up, but it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to start this thing because I'm a new person. And my mind is not going to take me there anymore. And, you know, for Sheila, she's changed so much towards me, you know. And I think that's the thing. When you start looking not at each other, but, and this is what a new beginning means to me, too, is like I have a new beginning in my marriage every day. And Sheila and I, when we first came into this, when I first sobered up and everything, our thing was, and how many times have you heard this? People come, we were in Inside Out, so I heard this a lot. What's the problem? Well, he. Well, she. It's like, no. We found out, and this for me, it was through A, that the only person that I can change is me. I can't change her. I can't change anybody. All I can do is change my reaction to that person. That's it. How I react is the only thing I can change. And that same for the other person. So that I've changed so much in that. And I know that you, I'm looking at so many miracles in this room. It just blesses me when I see people, you know. How long have we been going here? Doug and Dave and, you know, Mark, all of us. We've all changed since we started here, you know, and for the better, I believe. You know, and that's what we do. We progress. We give ourselves a break because God does. He gives us grace every day. I know people say he gives us enough grace to get through the day, and I do believe that. But we got to put yesterday behind us. We have to. And we have to start new. We have to seek God. God, I blew it. What do I got to do? I've got a new heart. I want to use that. I want to do new things. I want to treat things differently. I want to look at situations new. Help me to do that, please, because I'm tired of this merry-go-round I'm on. So that's another thing that you do. And sharing, especially for men, is hard. I'm looking at you. No, I'm just kidding. Sharing is hard for men, you know, to reach out to somebody and tell what your feelings really are. That's changed for me. I have no problem with that now. In fact, sometimes I can get long-winded when I'm talking to people about my problems. And the thing is, too, is that you don't want to share it with somebody you trust. Don't go around telling everybody. Because, you know, I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, you get too many opinions, too many voices going in your head, it creates confusion. You know, I have a couple of men that I trust in the church wholeheartedly. They're probably, even though I don't hang around with them daily, my best friends that I've got that I would trust anything with. And I have shared stuff with them that I wouldn't share with anybody else because I can trust them. So find somebody you trust. That's new, especially for men. Get somebody you trust. Okay, and what is our responsibility? Therefore, is this a 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. All things are become new. Now, can anybody tell me what's that mean to you? All things have become new. Anybody tell me what it means to them? I'm not looking for my description of it. What's that mean, that you're new? When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you're new. Is that what it means to a lot of you? That you're a new person, new heart, new life. That's true to a point. But I looked up the word are, and you know, it says in other foreign languages, it means to be. And Hebrew is a foreign language, and so is Greek. And so maybe I think, this is just my opinion, I think what Christ is saying to us is, you know, the old things have passed away, all things to become new, or to be new. That's future. That's not now. So I think what he's telling us is, the heart's new, but your brain ain't. And this is where you got to pick up the slack. This is your skin in the game. You have to start renewing your mind. You have to start acting different. You have to start treating people different. You have to start treating yourself different. Be nice to yourself. In the Bible, it says, love your neighbors, you love yourself. You know, how many people really, I don't even know if I can truly say right now that I truly love myself, all of me, but you know what? I'm a lot better than I was years back. I do love myself. I have good qualities, and so do all of you. You all got good qualities. You all got something to offer, you know? And even though a lot of us are still hurting from family and stuff like that, it doesn't change the fact that God's still there and God's got a plan for you. And you know what? Sheila said something to the girls that I thought was great. She said, you know, when you're hurting, when you're down, go do something for somebody else. Take your mind off yourself. And I think that's a great thing. I know I felt the fullest in Christ when I'm helping other people. I walk away with peace and joy in my heart, because it gets old, everything being about me. I don't want everything to be about me anymore. I want it to be about other people in a good way. And that's something I still work on every day, and I'm getting better at it. But, you know, it never ends. It never ends. So another thing, when it says all things are to become new, I want to encourage you that don't go home and like you wake up tomorrow. In fact, even when you walk out this door, you know, we hear the word when we come in here, and I've heard a lot of good words preached from this pulpit, but I need to take them with me out the door. And I know I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but you know, a lot of Sundays, and I've told people this, you know, I've told Pastor Dave this once even, is that you get a good sermon, and then when I'm walking around the church right after the sermon, and I've done this, I still do this, next thing you know, I'm talking football. All of a sudden, the message is out the window, and I'm talking football. What time are the Cowboys on? What time are the Packers on? Hey, who are the Vikings playing today? Where are we going to eat and everything? And then we go out to eat, and we sit down, and we're talking football and everything. Personally, we were at a friend's house the other night, and I found out this, or a week ago, when I found this guy was a Christian, and we started talking about God. I loved it, because it's so few and far between. If you don't talk about God, you dry up. It's like a sponge. You're squeezing the water out, and pretty soon there ain't no more water to get out of it. You need to put some water in it. And that's what we need to do when we leave here. We need to start talking about God. What's more important in our lives than that? Me included. And you know what? All these things are not a burden. All it is, okay, 5 minutes a day, I'm going to find somebody and talk to them about God, if I can. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to walk up to a stranger or force it. But I mean, you know, hey, if you want to talk about God, come to me. I'll talk to you about God. I love talking about God, what he's done in my life and the miracles that he's performed. And it's just iron sharpening iron. And that helps your faith grow. You know, you walk away feeling really good. You do, with hope. And that's the things that I practice in my life as best as I can. Recently, I've hit a dry spell with the Bible. You know, people say, what do you do when you don't hear from God? You wait. And you keep feeding yourself. It's like every day I wake up, I eat. You know, I'm not going to starve myself, but yet I starve myself from the Word. And then I wonder why everything's so hard for me sometimes. And why I watch other people, and it's like all of a sudden the old behavior starts creeping. I start comparing myself. You know, when they asked me to preach today, I almost said I can't because I didn't feel worthy, you know. But then I thought again, is it about me? No, it's not about me. You hear me speaking, but this, I believe this is from God. It's about him. It's about you. I may be going through a tough time, but I can still hopefully give you guys something. I still got something, you know, and that's what we do. We don't give up. We don't ever think we're unworthy, because God doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us as his children. We're always worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not about what we do, what we don't do. The new beginning is about grace. Everyday grace, forgiveness. I'm telling you, when I finally forgave my dad, it was such, it was such a load off me. When I could look at him and have compassion and love for him and not think of his faults anymore, it was just so wonderful. He was a good dad. He did the best he could. And I wouldn't have said that a few years back. So I guess to end it, it's what I'm going to say is, you know, do a step at a time, a day at a time, minute at a time, whatever it takes. I know there's a lot of us are really in a lot of pain with family right now and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not too big for God. And, you know, I'll finish with this. I was looking up happiness and joy. And I've always thought they were different. And I looked it up online and happiness, and some people say, oh, they're the same thing. But I don't believe so. And I finally found a description, because happiness is based on circumstances. Joy isn't. It says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. That's why he did it. And Sheila says, well, the joy that we were going to get saved. And I believe that. But I believe the joy was inside of him all the time. Because when he finally hung on that cross, he had completed what he started. It was a new beginning for him to come here born a baby, a human. It was completely foreign to him, but he carried it out to the end, you know. And I think he had joy. And joy is not that you're happy, you feel like this. Joy is knowing that God's there. You have your joy in the Lord, and he's your strength. That's joy. So that's all I have for today. I encourage you all, you know, just let the joy of the Lord be your strength today, you know. You don't have to be bubbly and outgoing all the time, all right? Just steady. Just steady. Fighting the fight. So anyway, I'll give it back to Doreen. She's going to do the prayer, closing prayer. And I thank you for letting me do this. Sure. Father God, I just come to you today. And I truly thank you for everybody in this room, God. I know we're all at different parts in our walks, in our new beginning. But God, today's a new day. Your grace is new today. Our fellowship with one another is new today. Father, as we go out, help us to keep our word in your heart. Father, help us to keep you in our minds in everything that we do. And Father, most of all, Father, I pray people walk out this door and just be nicer to themselves. Father, we are our own worst enemies. And God, you don't like that at all. Father, you love us. You created us. You created us to love ourselves and to love you and to receive love. So I pray that we all do that today. Help us to receive love and give it back in any way that we can, God. And Father, I pray for peace that passes all understanding, that will keep all our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And thank you for the new beginning and every day after. In Jesus' name, amen.